सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणमूर्तये नमो नमः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः. गणः मीन्स् ग्रूप्, यु नो दिस्. अण्ड् पतिः मीन्स्, I told you, the Lord. And who is the Lord? The Patihi and Pitta, these two words have come from the same root pa. Pati. The verb is pati. Second conjugation root. Pati means what? Protects. So, pati iti pita, pati iti patihi. The one who protects is father, one who protects is the husband. Husband means what? I don't mean the husband actually. So, Patihi and Pita, this the Lord. Who can, Patihi actually means the Lord. Who can be the Lord? Who enjoys the status of being the Lord? Only the one who has the capacity to protect. Understand? So, Patihi means the cause is the Patihi here. Cause alone sustains the effect. Cause, by lending existence, okay, by being independent of the effect, but lending existence to the effect, cause sustains the effect, therefore cause is the protector of the effect. Isn't it? Therefore cause is the Lord. Therefore Lord we say. And we say Ganaha means group. Ganaha literally means a group. Any group is called Ganaha. Many things put together is called Ganaha. So here in this universe we take in this system, this whole universe of causes and effects. The universe is nothing but constitution of multifarious varieties of causes and effects. And everything you see is found, you know, in a group. It means there are many varieties of groups. Right from atoms, you say the groups. Molecules, groups. Is it particles? A group. Everything is a group. And then any system you take, many things put together forms one system. Therefore, group. And beings, so there are groups of varieties of beings. Therefore, Ganapatihi, the Lord of the varieties of groups of beings, is called Ganapatihi. So, the whole Jagat is what? Ganapatihi, the Lord of the entire universe, which is the constituent of, you know, the varieties of groups of beings. One meaning. And which includes also what? The natural laws. How many laws are there? Many laws, natural laws. Okay? So all the laws, also so group. So the Lord of laws. So Ganapatihi means don't need to think of anything. We say for us the whole universe is the Lord. Therefore the Lord of the universe, which is the constituent of varieties of groups of beings, is called Ganapatihi. You say, Om Namaste Ganapataye. When you say, Namaste Ganapataye, salutations unto the Lord of groups of beings. When you say, and wherein you include yourself. When you say, Namaha, that means you, there, when every time you say, Namaha, you resolve your identity with, this, the word Namaha, he expresses one not isolating oneself from the whole, and one, no, recognizing one's being part of the whole is revealed by the word Namaha. Right? Om Namaha Te Ganapataye. Salutations unto the Lord, the Ganapati. Namaste Ganapataye. Then Tvam Eva Pratyaksham Tattvamasi. Tvam Eva. So this is Namaste. Okay? Namaste Ganapataye. Tvam eva pratyaksham tattvamasi. So, tvam, you know, very simple language, we will do it fast. Tvam eva pratyaksham tattvamasi. Thou art the, no, tattvam, the truth, no, which is available for immediate knowledge. Thou art the reality, which is available for reality, the consciousness, which is available for immediate knowledge. Pratyaksham. Tvam eva pratyaksham tattvamasi. Why immediate knowledge? Oh Lord, even though the whole Jagat is the Lord, the whole universe is the Lord, the truth of the Lord is not available for direct knowledge, nor is it available for indirect knowledge, but it is available for immediate knowledge. Why? Anything available for direct knowledge or indirect knowledge is an object of knowledge. Okay? Anything available for direct knowledge or indirect knowledge. I don't want to explain what is direct knowledge and what is indirect knowledge. Understand? But anything available for, objectification, an object of knowledge is available for direct or indirect knowledge. But the subject of knowledge is not available for direct knowledge or indirect knowledge, but it's available for the immediate knowledge. Immediate knowledge means what? Okay, this reality is available for understanding as the very source of knowledge. Is it clear? Reality, the consciousness, being available for recognition as the source of knowledge, I'm just going very fast, okay? Is said to be here as what? No, the reality being available for recognition as the subject of knowledge. As the knower. Understand? Therefore, pratyaksham tattvasi. Tattvam means the truth. So, tvam eva pratyaksham tattvamasi. Thou art the truth available for recognition, okay? Not as an object of knowledge, but as the very, subject of knowledge. That is for immediate knowledge. Tvam eva pratyaksham tattvamasi. Tvam eva kevalam kartasi. Okay, tvam eva karta asi kevalam karta asi. You are the only creator. Thou, O Lord, thou art the only creator. Karta means the maker. So here again we have to understand why thou art the only creator. When you say, definitely Lord is not the creator. Lord is not the creator. Why? Because this creation is an action. There's no such thing called, when you say the whole jagat is created, creation, manifestation is looked upon as creation. And we say there is no such thing, because reality is of the nature of actionlessness, which you are going to see in Gita class anyway. Now, reality is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, there is no action. But without the reality, nothing can manifest. Therefore, from the standpoint of the jagat, we say the creator of the jagat is the Lord. It's I have to remember this example again. Sun is not the illuminator, but the illuminator is the sun. Why do we say? Because to add er or or, to create an adjective, it must be an action. Illumining, if it is an action, we can say sun is the illuminator. But illumining happens to be the swarupam, very nature. And then it is very nature. Therefore we say illuminator is the sun. Without the sun, nothing illuminates. There cannot be such a thing called illumination. Yeah. That's what, but still we hear this mantra says, tvam eva pratyaksham tattvamasi, tvam eva kevalam kartasi. When you say you are the creator, thou art the only creator, means there is no such thing called creator. The whole jagat is manifestation of the Lord. From the standpoint of the jagat, we say the creator is the Lord. Similarly, tvam eva kevalam dhartasi. Similarly, dharta means sustainer. See, karoti iti karta, dharti iti dharta. Dhartri shabda harkarantaha pullingha, dhartri shabdaha, in nominative, it is dharta. So, tvam eva kevalam dharta asi. O Lord, thou art the only sustainer of the universe. Again, same way sustaining. The water does not need to do any action, to be in the form of the wave. Just water is, there is a wave, that's all. It is called, this is how the water as a cause lends existence to the wave and sustains the wave. Understand? This is how similarly the clay sustains the pot. Therefore, similarly, the reality, consciousness as the pure knowledge, okay, lends existence to, by knowing, okay, by swarupataha, by knowing, it lends existence to the universe, thereby as the cause, and it sustains the universe. Dharta. So, it's not, again, sustaining is not an action, the very swarupam. Therefore, thou art the only sustainer. When you say, we have to understand, the sustainer of the universe is you. Tvameva kevalam dhartasi. Tvameva kevalam hartasi. Again, harta. Harati iti harta. What is harati? One who draws everything towards oneself. One who withdraws everything towards oneself. Now, imagine Lord withdrawing everything to himself. Understand? So, drawing towards oneself is haranam. Haranam. So, harta is the one who takes back everything towards himself. That means one in whom everything resolves. The resolver of the universe. So we say again, resolving is not an action. It again is the swarupam. So we say the only reality in which everything resolves. When you say the resolver of the universe is you. We are the creator, sustainer, resolver. When you say, we don't mean that is as an action. Okay, that is the very swarupam. That means these three functions, okay, manifestation, and sustenance, and unmanifestation, okay, the resolution, all the three functions take place, okay, of the universe, take place within the realm of the reality, the consciousness. So the three different functions happening, they're all functions. We say function, and within there's an order, and within the realm of order, these three functions, manifestation, sustenance, and resolution, take place. So from the standpoint of three different functions, we give three different names to the Lord, which we saw in, we're going to see in the Mundaka Upanishad as Virat, okay, Virat, Vishnuhu, or Hiranyagarbha, we can say Brahma, or Shivaha, you know, or Ishwaraha. Three different names are given here. Ishwaraha, when you say the Lord is given the name as Ishwara, you know, from the standpoint of the function of resolution. The same Lord is given the name as what? Vishnuhu, the sustainer, all pervasive, the standpoint of the sustenance of the universe. The same Lord, the standpoint of manifestation, is given the name as what? Brahma, Karta. A creator, Hiranyagarbha. Anyway, three different names are given to the only Lord from the standpoint of three different functions which happen in the part of the reality, within the realm of the order, because of the presence of the reality. So he said, Tvameva, and the Kevalam, the word, again emphasizes, which says only, that only emphasizes the second thing being not there. There's no second thing which activates, okay, which causes the action or even the action being not there. Tvameva kevalam kartasi, tvameva kevalam dhartasi, tvameva kevalam hartasi. All kindergarten Sanskrit words you use in this line, this Upanishad. It is pretty profound facts are revealed. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Okay, Tvamev idam sarvam, when you say idam sarvam Brahma, then you see the whole universe also is what now? Vast universe is Brahma. Why? This is the manifestation of the only reality which is free from three limitations. Therefore, the universe, which is the manifestation of the reality which is free from limitations, is also said to be what? Brahma. So, Brahman, the reality, the limitless reality, is not this universe, but this universe is what? Vast, incomprehensibly vast universe is nothing but that limitless reality. Therefore, we say here, Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Khalu, indeed, thou alone art manifest as this vast universe. This entire universe is nothing but thou, the limitless reality. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi. Tvam sakshad atma si nityam. So, atma asi nityam. Tvam, O Lord, thou, the swarupataha, the standpoint of reality, swarupam. Nityam, always you are there as the very self of everything. Here, atma means self. Not we don't need to say I or you or anything. Okay? We just say, Tvameva sarvam. Tvameva sarvam khalvidam brahmasi, tvam sakshadatmasi nityam. Thou art the self, thou remain as the self alone, always, okay, self of all the beings. Why the word atma means what? The self. Okay, why I told him many times, I explained this, the vakyam, apnoti sarvam iti atma. Why the reality is known by the term atma? It's in English language self. There's no meaning over it, just the self. It's a reflexive pronoun. But why atma? That which pervades everything, you know, apnoti sarvam iti atma. Atma is one way, no? That which pervades everything is atma. So what is the self here with reference to ocean? Water. What is the self with reference to wave? The same water. Okay, and what is the self with reference to all the waves? The same water. Why it is the self? That is the thing which pervades everything, lends existence to everything, remains the cause of everything, but is it exists independent of everything else, is the self, atma, pervades. Which part of the wave is not pervaded by the water? No. Therefore, it is the atma. Understand? And that is, there's no such thing, nothing other than the water with reference to wave. Similarly, with reference to this whole jagat, no, the one self, when you say, you don't need to say Paramatma and Jivatma, all those things. We just say Atma means Paramatma only, the absolute self. The self is the absolute self. This is all pervasive. But Tvamevas, therefore, Tvam Sakshad Atma Asi Nityam. Tvam Sakshad Atma Asi Nityam. Thou art the all pervasive self and available for the immediate recognition. Immediate knowledge as the very substantive substance of the substantive I. You have to say this much for this sentence. Sakshat. Yeah, that's why I said Sakshat, which is available for recognition, immediate recognition, immediate knowledge as the substance of the substantive I. Thou art the self, thou remain as the self of all the beings always, available for recognition, immediate knowledge, as the substance of the substantive I. At least Sakshat you have to use there. Sakshat comes, Pratyaksham comes, you have to say immediate. Even though Pratyaksham means direct, you have to use this, say this. Yeah. Tvam Sakshadatma si Nityam Ritam Vachmi Satyam Vachmi. So the what, the truth? No, the what, the knowledge of the subject matter. The what, the subject matter of the Shastram, the what, the knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastram, okay? And then the what, the, again we say, so understanding of the subject matter of the Shastram is Ritam, okay? So knowledge of values is Ritam, and living a life of values is what? Satyam. So the what, the Ritam, and the what, the Satyam. So, Srutam Vachmi, Satyam Vachmi, Avatvamam, Avavakta, Ava, you know, all of you know this word. Ava means may you protect. Avatvamam, O Lord, may you protect me. How can you protect me? Avatvamam, Avavaktaram, Avashrotaram, Avadataram, Avadhataram, Avanochanam, Avasishyam. Remember all these things I told you? I think I covered all these things. Can we protect the one who recites it, one who listens to this, and one who knows, keeps it, one who always keeps it in the mind, okay? And one who recites after the teacher, and one who knows the meaning of this, may you protect all of them. Avadhataram, avadhataram, avanochanam, avasishyam, avapaschataat, Ava Purasta Ate. So Ava means may you protect. May you protect me from the adversities arising, you know, in the east and the west and the south and the north and above and below. So you have to say, may you protect me from all sides. What do you mean? May I be protected wherever I am so that my I'm not distracted from a pursuit of knowledge. I tell you, you asking for protection means Lord, may you bless me. Okay, that bless me with the knowledge. And may you protect me from all adversities arising from any quarters and which will prevent me from my pursuit of knowledge. That is why you ask for this protection, sir. Very good thing. So avatvamam avapaschatat avapurastat avottaratat avadakshinatat avachodhvatat avadharatat sarvatomam pahi pahi samantat. So may you protect me from all sides. Sarvatomam pahi pahi samantat. See, when you ask for absolute protection, the relative protection also is as well prayed for. Is it clear? When you say, when you ask for protection, the real protection is only in knowledge. Therefore, you ask for anything which keeps you away from the pursuit of knowledge. And apart from that, so the relative protection also is asked, implied there. So, sarvato mam pahi pahi samantat. Tvam vangmayas tvam chinmayaha. I think I explained a lot. I took so long for to explain all these things, I think. Now, tvam vangmayaha. See, thou art the, you know, thou art manifest as all the words. Why? Because the entire universe is you. All the objects which constitute the universe is you. All the words which indicate the objects is, so you. Therefore, tvam vangmayaha. Thou art manifest as all the words. You are going to see that later on in the upasanam comes. Tvam vangmayas tvam chinmayaha. Tvam chinmayaha. How are you? Actually, O Lord, the whole, which is inclusive of me, absolutely, thou art the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. Okay? Tvam chinmayaha. Tvam vangmayas tvam chinmayaha. Tvam anandamayas tvam brahmamayaha. And thou art of the nature of happiness, which implies limitlessness. Tvam anandamayas tvam brahmamayaha, tvam sachidananda dvitiyosi, tvam asi, thou art. What are you here? Sat chit anandaha asi. Thou art the sat, thou art the chit, thou art the anandaha. See, if you understand this one sentence, and you, the whole teaching has come to an end, you don't need to study anything anymore. The word sat means the existence, which implies the reality being the cause of the universe. Okay? And chit means what, this existence, the sat of the universe, the cause of the universe, which lends existence to the effect, the universe. Which form is it? What is its form? Some, everything should have some form. What is its form? So formlessness is its form, but in somehow you have to understand it. In which form can you understand it? Which is of the nature of knowledge. Therefore, chit means consciousness, awareness, I can say pure knowledge. Chit, then anandaha. Anandaha means happiness, which means anantaha. That means which is free from all limitations, limitlessness. So tvam sachidananda dvitiyosi. O Lord, thou art the secondless, only reality, which is of the nature of existence, knowledge, and limitlessness. This is the correct meaning. Is it clear now? Because we have already done that nāsata vidyate bhavaha, you can understand easily. See, the cause of the universe, we say, the Chaitanyam Brahma is the cause of the universe. The universe jagat is karyam, brahma sat karanam. When you say, why cause, you say, because it lends existence to the universe. Brahma asti, therefore jagat asti. Okay, Brahman lends existence to the universe. The existence of Brahman is the existence of the universe. Therefore, Brahman lends existence to the universe. Again, not lending, it's not an action here. Brahman is, therefore jagat is. Understand? The illumining light is, therefore the illumined object is. Like that, consciousness is, the universe is. For the cause. When you say the cause, therefore the cause is what becomes what now? Existence of the universe. That was sat. But sat, the existence of the universe, how is it? In what form can you see the? What is that cause? What is that cause which is the sat of the universe? It is there only as the chit. Okay? Chit. And what is this chit actually? The chit is anandaha. Anandaha means what? It is the nature of happiness. What is that happiness? It is free from all limitations. Understand? This is how you have to understand the three. It's free from all limitations. Anandaha. And is there a second thing which is like that? When you say incomparably limitless, when you say, therefore, advitiyaha. Why incomparable? As a second thing other than that. There will be two things for one to be compared with the other. Understand? Therefore, it is secondless, only reality. Therefore, tum sachidananda advitiyasi, tum pratyaksham brahmasi. And again he comes, pratyaksham brahmasi. In this context, Brahma also means Hiranyagarbha. Okay? I mean, sagunam Brahma. We can say pratyaksham brahmasi. That means what? Thou art, you know, available for understanding as this Brahman. What is this Brahman here? As the Vayu. Okay, pratyaksham Brahma. We have already said Atma asi nityam. Therefore, in this context, we can say that you are available for understanding, not immediate understanding, etc. We can say, but still, because here, even the Hiranyagarbha, sagunam Brahma, we can say. See, we use consciousness, pure consciousness as such, we say Nirgunam Brahma. The universe, when you say Ishvara, Bhagavan, when you say, it is Sagunam Brahma. Understand, Sagunam Brahma is Ishvara. Nirgunam Brahma is, understand, pure consciousness. Just the two different words we use. So, Tvameva Pratyaksham Brahmasi means what? This entire universe is you, and even the pranas, in the form of Vayu, this is Pratyaksham. Every time the Vayu which is there is also you. Because particularly he says the Hiranyagarbha means we go to the Vayu and then we mention here. The what manifests as the Vayu, which is directly perceived in fact. Perceived also. The prana is perceived. In this context, the Brahma also means the Sagunam Brahma, which is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha, when you say samashti, samashti sukshma prapanchaha, there we imply the pranas, the vayuhu. Because, we refer, what is the reference here? We go to Taittiriya Upanishad, tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi. No, we say, om shanno mitrasham varunaha, shanno bhavatvaryama, shanna indro brihaspati, shanno mitna. We say that. Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo. Effected. Namo Brahmane Namaste Vayo. Salutations unto you, the Lord Vayu. Because Namo Brahmane. Salutations to Brahman, the Vayu. There the Brahman means Vayu. And Vayu doesn't mean simply the Vayu Devata alone. The Vayu which is there, which stands for the entire Samashti Sukshma Prapancha, subtle universe. The Lord. So Sagunam Brahma. So here also we say Sagunam Brahma is, we see the Vayu, we see the pranas, we see the functions taking place. Understand? All these are nothing but Brahman. To say that, tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi.
Is the word pratyaksham? Pratyaksham?
Again, direct. Directly perceived. Yeah. Whenever it comes with the reference to an Atma, you should understand pratyaksham as aparoksha. As immediate. Okay. Tvam eva pratyaksham brahmasi, tvam jnanamayo vijnanamayosi. I said the word manifest as jnanam and vijnanam. See, knowledge is you, vijnanam also is you. What is knowledge? See, knowledge of the self, listen to the shastram, from the teacher who knows sampradaya, understanding, knowledge of the subject matter of the shastras, that is jnanam. Before there was ignorance, okay, and listen to the teacher, understand subject matter of the shastram, then one has jnanam. And having understood from the teacher, having got the doubts really removed, then one dwells upon the nature of the reality which has got by studying shastram, then one has ascertained a vision of that reality, then it's called vijnanam. Okay? It is impossible for one to have vijnanam without having the jnanam. Why? Vijnanam implies what? Contemplation. Contemplation implies what? The knowledge of the object you are contemplating upon. Is it clear? And for to know what is it I have to contemplate on, how do you get? By studying shastram. Understand? So by studying Shastram from the competent teacher, having the knowledge of the subject matter of the Shastras is Jnanam, and having gained the knowledge of the reality, contemplating upon it, ascertaining it, what? Ascertained knowledge of the reality is called Vijnanam. So, anyway, the first-hand knowledge and the ascertained knowledge, both are vrittis. Both are thoughts. Both thoughts are what? Bhagavan. But knowledge of anything is Bhagavan. So, we say here, Tum jnanamayo vijnanamayosi sarvam jagadidam. Again repeated. Sarvam jagadidam tvatto jayate. Sarvam jagadidam tvattas tishtati. Sarvam jagadidam tvailayameshati. So, sarvam jagadidam, idam sarvam jagat, tvattaha jayate. It comes into being from you. It exists in you. Tvattaha tishtati. It exists in you. Tvailayameshati. This entire universe resolves in you. Same thing is said here. That means what? If this universe comes into being, exists and resolves in you, means all these three functions. No? The universe exists within the realm of its function of manifestation and unmanifestation. Becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest. Nobody has any say over it. Understand? So, whether the universe exists or it becomes unmanifest or manifest, Where does it exist? Only in consciousness. Therefore, we say here, tvattaha jayate, tvattaha tishtati, tvai layam eshati. Then we have one more word there. Sarvam jagadidam tvatto jayate, sarvam jagadidam tvattas tishtati, sarvam jagadidam tvai layam eshati, sarvam jagadidam tvai pratyeti. This entire universe comes back unto you alone. When you say, that it goes back to Bhagavan. What does it mean? It has no independent existence outside of you. Oh Lord, understand, this universe doesn't have an independent existence outside of you. That is what is emphatically expressed in saying, sarvam jagadidam tvai pratyeti. Everything returns unto you. Understand? When you say, please listen carefully, idam sarvam jagat tvattaha jayate tvattaha tishtati tvailayam eshati, means you have to remember one thing. Idam jagat, when you say, where should you start? Where does the universe begin from? And where does the universe end? One thing you can say very clearly, idam sarvam jagat tvattaha jayate tvattaha tishtati tvailayam eshati, means what? Idam jagat means what? This vast universe of, world of objects. The vast universe, the constituent of objects. Yes. The vishwam. I told you many times, vidaihi pratyaihi gamyam iti vishwam. Now that which is the constituent of countless objects, indicated by countless words. Vishwam. So this universe, when you say, it has to start with what? Anything external to the body is universe. Body also is universe. All the objects are universe. All the objects of knowledge are universe. Prapancha. Idam jagat. Idam jagat means anything which is an object of knowledge is an idam jagat. So everything, the mind, the pranas, the body, organs of action, of the sense organs, everything is reduced to an object. If everything is a part of the jagat, then what is there then? The knowledge. That's why we say the knowledge that I am, and also the knowledge of the objects, and all the objects of knowledge, all of them are the mind, also is what? Idam jagat. We forget there. Okay? Idam jagat means this. All of them have the entire universe, beginning from the knowledge that I am, the thoughts have their being, this universe has its being in the reality. Tvattaha jayate, tvattaha tishtati, tvai layam esheti, and tvai pratyeti. sarvam jagadidam tvai pratyeti tvam bhumirapo nalo nilo nabha sarvam jagadidam tvatto jayate sarvam jagadidam tvattastishthati sarvam jagadidam tvai layameshati sarvam jagadidam tvai pratyeti tvam bhumirapo nalo nilo nabha tvam bhumihi apaha analaha anilaha nabaha. I am spitting it now. See, tvam bhumihi, tvam apaha, tvam analaha, tvam anilaha, tvam nabaha. Bhumihi, earth. Okay, you know that. Then apaha, waters. You know, this is plural of up. Then analaha, fire. Why fire is said to be analaha? I told you, alam means enough. That which never says enough with any oblations, any, you know, fuel is called analaha. Understand, this is a very beautiful word. I want you to know. That's why whenever any our books, when they use any examples, very apt examples, desire is always likened to the insatiable fire. Why? Because analaha, dushpuraha analaha. You come across the Bhagavad Gita. No? Dushpuraha analaha. What is it? Is dushpuraha analaha? Kamaha, desire. Therefore, we say here analaha, sir fire. Analaha, then anilaha, na nilayati, ekasmin sthane, sarvatra atati, okay, sarvatra gachati iti karnataha, it is called anilaha, okay, analaha, anilaha, then we say, the air is called anilaha, anilaha, then nabaha, space, tvam bhumirapo nalo nilo nabaha, the what manifests as all these five different elements. Why you have to say, tvam bhumirapo nalo nilo nabaha. Tvam, when you say you, okay, O Lord, thou alone art manifest as all these five different elements, entirely different, grossest and the subtlest of the elements, and also other elements, the different gunas. Every element has its own guna. No, Gandhavati, Prithivi, Rupavan, no, Rupavan, Agnihi. Understand? Like we have difference. We had sparshaha is the guna of the vayu. Every element has its own guna. But different elements of different thing, structure, the different nature, with different gunas, all are five. The whole jagat is what? The constituent of these elements and the elemental. Jagat itself is pancha bhautikaha prapanchaha, but still all the five are you. Absolutely, relatively they are different, but absolutely all of them are one. Okay? But if you reduce five elements to one cause, the whole jagat can be reduced to one. That is a simple thing. Tvam bhumirapo nalo nilo nabaha tvam chatvari vakpadani. So the what? No, manifest is all the four Vedas are you, and thou art the speech limited to the four words. You can give many meanings for this word. Okay, thou art the speech limited to the four words means what? See, in fact, everything is manifestation of Ishvara. What about the speech? Speech is what? Expression of the thought is speech, in fact. Understand? So thought is what? Surfacing of consciousness is the thought. Okay? An expression of thought is what? The speech. And the speech for, there must be some need, some pressure, some need for the speech to, for the thought to rise and for the thought to get expressed in the form of action or speech. Understand? When the speech comes, so it's already latent. Any speech is already latent in the form of knowledge. Understand? Suppose I want a cup of water. When I say, first I had a need, and then I think. Now, before it gets expressed, when it is latent, it's in the form of para. Para. And thereafter, I try, okay, then I think of expressing it, then it becomes pashyanti. When the words really come to my throat, madhyama. I want water, when I say, when it gets expressed, uttered sounds is what?
Speech.
No? Vaikari. Vaikari. The speech is vaikari. Therefore, the four forms of speech. Understand? Any word, so thou art the speech limited to this four there's four types of words, you know, para, pashyanti, madhyama, vaikari. Or you can say, oh, the what manifest as all the treasures of knowledge, the four Vedas. So, tum chatvari vakpadani, tum gunatrayatitaha. You're free from all three gunas. See, three, when I tell you, the gunas are what? The rajoguna, tamoguna, tamoguna. I explained this even where? Trigunarahitam sadgurum tam namami. I already explained to you. I don't need to tell you again. So, trigunarahitaha, the gunas are connected to? Yeah, gunaha, the trigunas are connected to only the manifestation, only the effects, only the objects of knowledge. Understand? So, the gunas, so the subject, the cause, okay, the reality is free from the trigunas. Therefore, triguna rahitaha, so here we say, tam gunatraya titaha, you are free from trigunas. Gunatraya titaha, de avasthatraya titaha. So again, three avasthas. Now, three avasthas, three states of experience. Now, three states belong to the mind. Mind goes through three states. There is an experience of mind, you know, undergoing three states. Therefore, we say avasthatrayaha. But the consciousness which is witnessing there, which is there, knowing, illumining, bringing to light the three states of mind, is what? Free from the three states of experience. Therefore, avasthatraya atitaha. Okay, the what free from these three states of experience? Avasthatraya atitaha, kalatraya atitaha, then present, the past, future, past, present, future, the three times, no? In fact, past, present, future is there for any object which comes into being, which has a beginning. Therefore, only with reference to the objects, idam shabdena suchyamanasya samagrasya api jagataha, okay, we can say past, present, future is there. But, okay, aham shabdena, understand, suchyamanasya, no, chaitanyasya, no, kalasya api, no, so which is even the, which is the existence of the time also, for time factor, definitely is free from what? It is free from past, present and future. Therefore, we say, kalatraya titaha, avasthatraya titaha, kalatraya titaha, tum dehatraya titaha, tum dehatraya titaha. Again, we say, we talk about three dehas. Three dehas means thula deha, sukshma deha. And also, we have one more body, causal body, the karna deha. Karna shariram is nothing but the avidya, ignorance. Just the avidya is karna shariram. Understand? Why avidya is karna shariram? Listen carefully. Avidya is avranoti, avaranam. Avaranam. See, the root vru is very interesting. Vru means choose, to choose. Vrunoti chooses. Understand? Avranoti covers. See, I don't choose that flower. So vrunoti, but avrunoti. Understand? I cover it. So avaranam means what? Covering. Covering. So ignorance covers things. Like what? Like any sheet can cover. Ignorance covers. The word ignorance is called avaranam. Understand? Avidya is avaranam. That is the karna shariram. That is the karnam for what? For all the problems in samsara. Mm-hmm. So, avidya is karna shariram. So, avidya is part of the mind. Part of the mind. Then, sukshma shariram. So, avidya is just the ignorance which is the part of the mind, which belongs to sukshma shariram, and also sthula deha. So, all the gross forms, the pure consciousness, the self of all the beings, is free from all the gross manifestations, subtle manifestations, and also the avidya, the karna shariram. Okay, svam dehatraya titaha, tvam kalatraya titaha, tvam mooladharasthito sinityam. Again, when we talk about Bhagavan as all pervasive, I don't want to say that you remain at the mooladhara, the back of the backbone, no? At the top, no? Bottom of the backbone. People always say mooladhara shakti is there. We have always say moolaha moolancha adharascha. Okay, mooladharaha. See, thou art the very existent substratum, okay, and which lends existence. The cause, whatever the cause, which lends existence to everything. Tvam mooladharasthitosi nityam, tvam shaktitrayatmakaha, tvam shaktitrayatmakaha. See, atmaka shabda always says, suppose say, jalatmakaha tarangaha, jalatmakaha samudraha. See, water is not in the form of hima. Himatmakaham jalam, I don't say here. I say samudratmakaha. Jalatmakaha samudraha means what? Samudram, which is nothing but the water. Like that, tvam shaktitrayatmakaha, O Lord, thou alone art manifest as threefold powers. What is that? Icha shakti, the capacity to desire, capacity to know, and capacity to do. Okay, Icha shakti, kriya shakti, jnana shakti, sarupini, which comes in Lalita Sahasranam. We read it. So here, tvam shaktitrayatmakaha, Tvam yogino dhyayanti nityam, tvam yoginaha nityam dhyayanti. Always yogis meditate upon you, O Lord. Okay, yoginaha, who is a yogi? Big question comes. One who does pranayama is a yogi, one who practices the yogasana is a yogi, or one who is meditate, given to the practice of meditation is a yogi. Who is a yogi here? All of them are yogis. Understand? But here yoginaha means, there only yoginaha means those who have prepared their minds are yogis. Those who are pursue the knowledge, those are given to the pursuit of knowledge are yogis. So they must be who? Either karma yoginaha or sannyasinaha, jnana yoginaha. Jnana yogi is a sannyasi, karma yogi. So all the yogis, those who are given to the pursuit of knowledge, who live either as a karma yogi or a jnana yogi, a sannyasi, they're all yoginaha. They always nityam dhyayanti nityam. Tvam nityam dhyayanti. They always meditate on you. How do they meditate on you? Always. Because when you fix up the time for meditation, when you have time for meditation, how can you meditate always? Nityam dhyayanti yoginaha. If they na nityam na dhyayanti, then they na yoginaha. They ayoginaha. If they understand, nityam dhyayanti means they meditate on you always, fixed time, morning, evening, off, morning. Okay, sometime. That's okay. Some practice, technique of meditative practice, technique you practice for some time, listen to some dhyanam, some mantra, some japa, you try to do something, that's also called meditation. But actually, dhyayanti nitya means they meditate on you always. Karma yoginaha always are in meditation. Why? They never miss Bhagavan even for a fraction of a second. How? Because of their dharma aviruddha, karmanaha. Because they choose to do only dharma aviruddham karma. They do not do any karma, okay, thoughtlessly, carelessly, mechanically. Whatever karma they choose to do, they choose to do a karma. Okay, even though any karma is impelled by their own act, desire and need and wish, but any karma they choose to do is dharma aviruddham karma, is the action which is in conformity with the values, which is not against dharma. They choose to do. Why? Because, why they do? Therefore, because they know. Because they're committed to the pursuit of knowledge. They know the value of dharma. Therefore, because the karma yoginaha know the value of dharma, therefore they choose to do the dharma aviruddham karma. Understand? And then when we're doing also, they do all the karma, knowing the limitations of results, and then they do it with the attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. And when any result comes also, because when performing the karma, they knowing the limitations of karma phalam, understand, being definite about the phalam, they do it with an attitude of offering it to Bhagavan. When the results come also, any result which comes, they know is ordained by the law of karma, okay, some natural laws, and in conformity with the past karmas also. Therefore, they look at anything ordained by the natural laws is looked upon as prasada. Therefore, they can look at it as prasada, they can accept it with sameness of mind as prasada. Okay, they are yoginaha. They know time. They are very, very conscious of doing everything that they do is not against dharma. Okay? There is no fraction of second they miss Bhagavan in life. So such people who do their karma in conformity with dharma, with an Isharpita buddhi, with the attitude of accepting anything which comes in life as prasada, there is no second they miss Bhagavan in life. Okay, therefore that's always their meditative of Ishvara. Karma yoginaha evameva sityam dhyayanti. Similarly, we have another word, jnana yogina sannyasinaha. How do they always, they're meditative, because they either they read the shastras, study the shastras, they always keep their mind in subject matter of the shastram, which is nothing but Bhagavan. They study, read, they share. And nobody is there to share also, they have to dwell upon what they study. Therefore, they are always meditative and contemplative. This is how yoginaha, karma yoginaha, or jnana yoginaha, sannyasinaha, evam nityam dhyayanti. They always meditate on you. So, yogino dhyayanti nityam, tvam brahma, tvam vishnustvam, rudrastvam, indrastvam, agnistvam, vayustvam, suryastvam, chandramastvam, brahma, bhurbhuvasvarom. So, Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnuhu. So, all the names which you have already seen now. So, Brahma, Vishnuhu, Rudraha, three different names. Now, standpoint of three different functions. Okay, the functional names. Then, Indraha, all these different, phenomena which are given different names, all the devatas, all of you are you. Indraha, Varunaha, Agnihi, Vayuhu. Now, all these are you. In fact, Tvam Bodhbhuvasvarom Bhuhu Bhuvaha Suvaha. So, Bhuhu means what? The terrestrial world. Bhuvaha means what? The intermediary world. And Suvaha means what? The celestial universe, celestial world. So, all the worlds, the known and the unknown worlds, terrestrial, celestial and intermediary, all of them, the entire cosmos is you. Nothing which is you. See, nothing has its existence outside of pure consciousness. That's what is implied here. This is all for our clarity. Tvam Brahma, Tvam Vishnustvam, Rudrastvam, Indrastvam, Agnistvam, Vayustvam, Suryastvam, Chandramastvam, Brahma, Bhurbhuvasvarom. The word Brahma here means Vedas. Okay? Brahma, Bhurbhuvasvarom, the what Vedas. Gana, here comes. Now, the whole description is over. Now, the Upanishad talks about a mantra. And it's also meant for meditation. If people are interested, you can meditate upon mantra. If you're not interested, you can just understand what it is and you can leave it. Okay? So here, Ganadim Purvamucharya Varnadim Stadanantaram. So here, there's a sound called, come on, one syllable called gum. Say? Gum. Gum. Like how Om is one monosyllabic word, okay, monosyllabic mantra. Similarly, gum is another mantra. So, how this gum comes into being? Here the Upanishad says, we can say, oh, what is the big deal? Gum. G-a-im. We can say ourselves. But Upanishad doesn't want to say, yes, it has, somebody has given it. They just say, how this mantra gum has come into being. Okay, he says, Ganadim Purvam, those days they never had the habit of reading or writing anything. Only you have to think everything and every you have to know. Therefore, first you have to say it orally. What is it you have to say? Purvam Uccharya. Uccharya man, having pronounced. First having pronounced. What have you pronounced first? Ganadim Gana Adihi. There is a word Ganaha. Okay? If you take the word Gana, Gana is a word. And take the first sound of the Gana. What is the first sound of the Gana? Gakara. G. Just the consonant. G. Ig plus A plus N plus A Gana. Understand? So Gana Adim Purvam Ucharya. Having pronounced the first sound of the word Gana, what you have got now? G. Varnadim tadanantaram. Tadanantaram, tasya anantaram, okay, gakarasya ucharana anantaram, varna adim. May one pronounce what? Varna adihi. Varnaha here means vowels. Okay, varna adihi is what? What is the first sound of the vowels? A. A. Varna adihi? A. vowels. Now varna means vowel. The first of the vowels is what? Yes, this morning with the Dr. Shivadasan said, "Yay." Because it is English vowel, no? So he said, "Yay." What is the first vowel? He said, "Yay." I said, no. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Why should you say? Because it has to be understood as a guttural, that is why. So, varnadi imstadanantaram. So, the first vowel of the, first sound of the vowels, varnanam adihi varnadihi. Kaha varnadihi? Akaraha. Therefore, tadanantaram, thereafter, may one pronounce akaraha. Understand? That is the meaning. So, ganadim purvamucharya, having pronounced the gakara, the first sound of the word gana, may one pronounce thereafter akara, the first sound of the vowels. This is the meaning. Okay? Anuswarav parataraha, le parataraha, thereafter, further. Okay? May one pronounce anuswaraha. May anuswara be pronounced later. Anuswaraha parataraha. What is anuswaraha? The dot. For us it's a dot, okay? Which stands for makara. Okay, now what you have got? G, a, m, gum. Ah, this is how you get the mantra gum. Understand? This is what the Upanishad said, because they had to teach everything those days. Not like that. Not like now. It's very, very ancient, very ancient days. This is how they have to teach. Ganadim purvamocharya varnadim stadanantaram. Ganashabdasya adi varna adi, no, aksharam, shabdam, no, pratham uccharya, tadanantaram, tasya uccharanantaram, varnanam adi aksharam, akaram uccharet. Okay, that's what he says. Varnadi im stadanantaram anuswarav parataraha tadanantaram anuswaraha uchariyatam. Okay, may anuswara be pronounced after that. Anuswarav parataraha, then ardhe endulasitam, and may it be embellished with a half crescent. Induhu means the moon, and ardhe endu is what? Half crescent. So may it be embellished with half crescent. So what you have got? Gum. Understand? Gum. Yes, it comes. This is gum mantra you have got now. Ardhe endulasitam. Then this gum is a mantra by itself. How Om is a three monosyllabic mantra, consists of three sounds. Similarly, gum also consists of three sounds. It is as effective as the Om. Why? Like akara is a guttural, gakara is a guttural. Akara, again we have one more akara. And then there again we have one more what? Makara, which is the nasal, the anuswara, which is labial. Here also you have anuswara, which is labial. Therefore, gum also stands for all the sounds pronounced between guttural and labial. Okay, gum also is similar to omkara. So, gum itself is a mantra. It is effective. You can say gum, like om. But he says, next he says, this gum, the mantra, okay, this gum mantra becomes more powerful when it is preceded by Om. Tarena Ruddham. Okay, Ruddham means what? It becomes richer and more powerful, stronger, when it is preceded by what? Tarena. If Omkara precedes this gum, how? Om gum. Taraha means here Omkaraha. See, Om, Omkaraha, Pranavaha, Taraha, they are all synonyms. Okay? Tara is one of the, Taraha also means Pranavaha. Why Om is known by the word Taraha? Because Tarayati iti Taraha. See, dwelling upon or contemplating upon the meaning of the sound Omkara will result, okay, will help one resolve one's identity with the totality, resolve one's mind in consciousness. Understand? Thereby, it helps one to cross the Osha Samsara. Therefore, it's called Taraha. See, Rama Nama Tarakam. Ramanama is said to be the Taraka mantra. Tarakam or Taraha means Tarayati. through Dhatuhu. Okay? Tarati means crosses. Helps to cross is what? Tarayati iti taraha. In fact, in Tamil, okay, we have one word to mean the wife. That means Daraha. Always Nitya Bahucha Shabdaha. But when Tamil people say Taram. So Taraha is like Tarakam. Okay, like Tarakam. So Tarena Riddham. This Gam Mantraha Riddaha Bhavati. A Riddham, okay, becomes stronger. It becomes more powerful with Omkara preceding it. Tarena Riddham Yetattava Manuswarupam. O Lord, Manu Swarupam means what? This is thy mantra form. Okay, Lord the whole has a form. Okay, is the sound symbol. Okay, Om is a sound symbol. This Om Gam is what now? Mantra form of the Lord. Understand? Om Gam. Why? Om and Gam, my God. The gutturals and labials stand for all the gutturals, labials, palatals and then cerebrals and dentals. Therefore, all the sounds stand for all the words stand for all the objects together constitute the jagat, therefore Om Gam stand for the whole. Okay? Therefore we say Om Gam. That's the meaning. Tarena Riddham Etattava Manuswarupam. Then again, the same thing is repeated. Gaka. Now, this, the limbs, we have now many parts. The every syllable, okay, every sound of the mantra, the Om is one syllable consisting of three sounds, Gam is a mantra consisting of three sounds, and every sound can be like a what? If you say Om Gam is Bhagavan's mantra's rupam, then the every part can be taken as Bhagavan's limbs. Understand? Simply we just look at it. Before we say here, okay, gakarav purva rupam. So the, what is the first sound of the mantra is what? Gakaraha. Gakarav purva rupam. First sound. Akaro madhyama rupam. So akara stands for the middle form. It's not middle, which is middle Bhagavans. Okay, middle sound. Then anusvarascha antyarupam, anusvaraha cha antyarupam. O Lord, anusvara, okay, anusvara makara is the third, the final sound. Gakara, first sound. Akara, middle sound. Anusvara, the final sound. So what is this? This is the mantra Gam. Anusvarascha antyarupam. Now listen carefully. Anusvarascha antyarupam binduruttara rupam. Then when you say Gam 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 Gam, you say Om 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 Gam 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 Gam. When you say that makara, always in pronouncing makara, okay, the sound gets prolonged. So the sound is prolonged, progresses into, okay, a little more, it's prolonged, and the prolonged sound of makara, okay, that's called nadaha. Sorry, and binduhu. Binduhu means the anuswara, prolonged sound of the anuswara is called binduhu. You have to understand this. Prolonged sound progresses into, understand, a sound which is called binduhu. Then this further prolonged, the anuswara which progresses into binduhu, which further is prolonged, it's called nadaha. The further prolonged, pulled, okay, sound of the binduhu is called nadaha. Om 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 Om. When you finish makara, it takes some time, no? that prolonged sound, first stage is called Binduha, second, the final stage is called Nadaha. Is it clear? Nada and Bindu are nothing. That's all. The Makara, when you finish Makara, the sound prolongs, the prolonged sound of Anuswara is called Binduha, and the Bindu further prolonged is called Nadaha. It has to end, okay? Nada ends. Nadaha literally means sound, but here it means the prolonged sound of the Binduha, which is the prolonged sound of the Anuswara. Om. 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 Have you understood now? So this is five limbs of the mantra form of the Lord. Gakaraha purvarupam, akaraha madhyamarupam, anuswaraha antyarupam, binduhu uttara, okay, uttarupam nadaha, we say next sandhan, okay, we'll say that. Pardon? Gakarah purvarupam, let me tell you. Gakarah purvarupam, akaro madhyamarupam, anuswarascha antyarupam, binduruttara rupam. Not uttara. Uttara means further prolonged. Om. Uttara means further, no? Further. Further. The anuswara, the makara, further prolonged, progresses into a sound which is, we give a name. What? Binduhu. Is further prolonged is what? Nadaha. But nada has to come to an end. Om.
Sandhana.
I'm coming, coming. So, binduruttara rupam, nada sandhanam. Sandhana means what? Why we say here? The sound further progressed, okay, or prolonged from bindu is called nadaha. That is this. That's where it stopped, okay? Now listen, nada sandhanam sagum hita sandhihi, sagum hita sandhihi, no samhita. Now, see, subsequent, okay, subsequently, all these sounds subsequently pronounced in unison is called samhita, it's called sandhi, okay? Sagum hita sandhihi, proximity of this sounds form what? In unison, the mantra becomes complete. That's all. Gam, gam is what is called samhita. Okay, the proximity of the sound is called samhita. What is proximity here? It's a subsequent name. These sounds, the independent different sounds, g, etc., are pronounced subsequently in unison. Okay, form the mantra, becomes mantra is complete, okay, complete, then mantra becomes complete, then it's called samhita. Is it clear now? So we know what is samhita, what is nadaha, what is binduhu. See, five limbs of the mantra, purarupam, madhyamarupam, antyarupam, the binduhu, nadaha. Then you put them together, the samhita, understand? What you get there? The complete mantra, gam. Gam. If you chant it mentally also, you should see that nada and sandhana. Okay? Nadaha and binduhu and nadaha. Is it clear? Binduhu and nadaha, you should get it. I'll let you, again, help you to understand. Is it clear or not? Now, why I'm saying, listen carefully. Om. It should take only, because it should take only 3 units of time. What is it, 1 unit of time? Trimatra kalaha. Okay? Trimatra, 3 units of time. So, the time taken to pronounce a single vowel, short vowel, is what? Is 1 unit of time. Time taken to pronounce a single short vowel is a one unit of time, ekamatra kalaha. So you can count, you can measure how much time you need then. Therefore, three matra kalaha, you should take only 3 matra kala to pronounce om or to pronounce gam. Together 6 matra kalas, okay? If you say it, gam, 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 gam. And what it says, when you chant this, when you say it, gam, the nada, listen, the binduhu is a prolonged sound of anuswara, and nada is much prolonged sound, much further prolonged sound of binduhu. And nada, when it ends, it's followed by what? Silence. Understand? Nadaha is always followed by silence. So that silence stands for what? Actionlessness, silence, the nature of consciousness. In fact, silence itself means what? Consciousness. Understand? We don't say silent consciousness, because there's no noisy consciousness. Okay? There is silence. The silence which follows the nadaha is consciousness. Why? Because silence is the nature of consciousness, nature of the reality. Silence implies what? Actionlessness. Listen carefully. When I say sun has the illumining power, even though I say Swamini has flower, it is separable. When sun has illumining power, the illumining power is not separable. Mm-hmm. Understand? It means what? It's swarupam. Mm-hmm. It's swarupam. And that illumining, what action does the sun do to illumine everything? What action does the light do? Nothing. Light is, sun is, everything is illumined. Our illumining is what? Swarupam. And in illumining everything, by just by swarupam, by presence, does sun make any noise, act, or no? Nothing. Therefore, similarly, knowing is a swarupam of consciousness. Understand? Knowledge. And what action does it do? Nothing. What does it? No noise. I tell you, when you say there's any action implies some commotion, some disturbance. Understand? And there's no action, there's no commotion, there's silence. The pure knowledge is of the nature of silence. Understand? The consciousness is of the nature of silence. Therefore, gam. So, gakara stands for the gross manifestation. Akara stands for subtle manifestation. Anuswara stands for resolved universe. Understand? And the binduhu, understand? Binduhu states jagat being resolved. And the nadaha, when it ends, when you chant nadaha, the silence should follow that. The silence following the nada implies the reality, the awareness, the consciousness, which is of the nature of silence. Understand? Therefore, nadaha, or in doing this mantra japa, nadaha always, no, helps you to launch the attention of the mind in awareness, wherein and all the thoughts will resolve. Okay, all thoughts will resolve. That is why Brahman, the reality, is also known by the word Nada Brahma. In music, all our musicians do in classical music, when they sing, anytime any alapanam they do, you know, always will be nada. Then we call it nada brahma. Why nada brahma? If the nada knows, you know, always the final sound should be followed by what? Silence. Until he begins next. And that silence stands for what? Consciousness. Okay? Always, if you meditate upon these limbs of the mantra rupa, then nada should always result in consciousness, sorry, silence, should fall by silence, and that silence stands for what? Awareness, wherein all the thoughts resolve. Therefore, Brahman, which is arrived at through the silence, this its swarupam, followed by nada, is said to be nada Brahma. In fact, the pure consciousness, the pure silence, is the source of all the sounds, all the words, all the noises, all actions, and all knowledge. That is what Gam says. From the Gam we understand that. Silence is the source of all sounds, all noises, all forms of actions, and all knowledge. Is it clear? Om, okay. Om Gam, you got Om Gam now. Nada Sandhanam Sagamhita Sandhihi Saisha. Okay, we had good next one now. Saisha Ganesha Vidya. Have you got Nadaha now? Have you got the Nadaha, the word meaning of the word Nadaha?
Yeah, but not Sandhanam.
Yeah, no, Sandhanam means it always fixes. Okay, the nada is that, okay, the prolonged sound of the bindu which launches the mind in pure awareness, which is of the nature of silence, or in pure silence, okay, wherein all the thoughts resolve. Sandhanam, it fixes up.
Sandhanam means?
Sandhanam, nadaha, sandhanam. Nada is that which fixes up. Okay? So clear? We can see, even if a gum is not familiar, that is, om is very familiar. Even om, makara is what? Makara has to be followed always. The anuswara is always followed, it's prolonged. It takes some time for the sound to resolve, no? Even mentally, if we say, because om. You finish a mark first itself, but again some sound follows. That sound is what? Bindu, that has to end, the nada. Is it clear now? Nada sandhanam sagumhita sandhihi. And this sandhihi means what here? This close proximity of the sounds. These sounds, independent, different sounds, when subsequently pronounced in unison, forms the mantra, makes the mantra complete. That's all. So, okay, it talks very big as if nothing. You only say Om Gam. So now Om is a monosyllabic mantra. Gam is a monosyllabic mantra. Okay, that's all. Now you could say Sagum Hita Sandhihi. No, Saisha Ganesha Vidya. Sa Yesha Saisha. Sa Yesha Ganesha Vidya. Here again vidya means not knowledge. Here vidya means upasanam, meditation. Meditation, mental worship. See, we call it worship, okay? Meditation for you, it should mean worship. So here, Ganesha, vidya, this indeed is that, okay, mental worship of the Lord. Meditation upon the Lord. The Lord of all beings. Ganesha. Isha means the Lord. Ganesha, the Lord of all beings. Saisha Ganesha Vidya. So it's a meditation pertaining to, okay, meditation on the Lord. This is the mental worship of the Lord. Saisha Ganesha Vidya Ganaka. Then Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, whenever you read a mantra, it is always better to remember the Rishi, Devata and the meter. So it is mentioned here, it's a culture. So Ganesha, Vidya, Ganaka, Rishihi. And who is the Rishi? Atharva, because it belongs to Atharva-Veda. But still here, because the Rishi talks about the Ganesha, Ganapati, so we also say what Ganaka Rishihi. But Ganakaha means accountant. Yaha Ganayati Saha Ganakaha. Now Gananam means counting. Ganayati counts. Ganakaha, one who counts. Accountant is Ganakaha. But here the name of the Rishi is Ganaka. Ganaka Rishihi. Rishihi. Rishihi, you know the word meaning of the word Rishihi. Rishati means Janati. Rishati, one who knows. Rishati iti Rishihi, Janati iti Rishihi, one who sees the truth. One who sees the truth, you know, one who must have meditated upon this mantra, one who should have got this, understood the nada, you know, resolving in, na, the silence. Okay, nada always helps you to fix. I mean, fixed in awareness. If you're very carefully doing it, because if we don't think of anything else, just Om. For a second, there's no thought. Om. No thought. Om. They don't give any gap, okay? Keep on doing it. What happens? Nada always launches the attention of the mind in pure awareness, okay? And that the thoughts resolve. Before the thought comes, oh. Before another thought comes, mind, immediate thought will come. So don't give gap. Oh. 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 You know what is Om is meant for? Pranava Japa is only for sannyasis. Because it is said, because it make a person very soon dispassionate. But in the other thing, you know, that's why they don't recommend this for everybody. But still, it doesn't matter. We say gum. Okay. So this is Saisha Ganesha Vidya. Then Ganaka Rishihi. Rishihi is Ganakaha. Ganaka Rishihi and the meter. Gam Nichrudgayatri. Nichrudgayatri is the meter. When usually Nichrudgayatri Chandaha. Chandas means meter. Chandas means Veda, Chandas means Mantra, Chandas also means the meter. And here, usually, if a mantra has 24 syllables, it is called Gayatri. But this mantra is in Nichrut Gayatri meter. Nichrut Gayatri is the name of the meter. Why? Only one syllable is here, okay? Om Gam. You say Nichrut Gayatri Chandaha. Nichrut Gayatri Chandaha. And Devata, who is the Devata here? You always need to have a Devata, a deity to be invoked. And Devata is Ganapati himself. Ganapatir Devata, the Lord of all beings, for the Lord the whole. We don't take one given phenomenon as Devata here. Here Devata, the presiding deity of this mantra is Ganapati, the Lord of all beings, Lord the whole. Ganapatir Devata, now we have Om is a monosyllabic mantra, Gam is a monosyllabic mantra, two syllables, okay? Now we have Ganapataye Namaha. So Om Gam, salutations unto the Lord who is the Lord of all different varieties of beings which constitute the whole. When you say Ganapataye Namaha, totally we got 8-syllabled mantra now. Om is a mantra by itself. Gam is a mantra by itself. Om Gam together from the mantra. Now we have together Ashtakshri mantra. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om, 8-syllabled mantra we got now. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha.
Why Namaha is not Why is Namaha not Namaha?
You know, together it is one. It should be taken as one.
Why is Namaha only one?
Namaha, because it doesn't give anything. Nam, why should we say here? Because we want to end with the anuswara there, with the vowel. For Namaha together should be taken as one syllable. Gana. It is a 4-sounded syllable. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Why do you take it separately also? Because it's not part of one word here. In this word itself consists of many. Ga, Na, Pa, Ta, Ye. 5, 6, 7 we have. And the Namaha, because it's a separate word by itself, it's not part of the word. You take it as one syllable. Now Namaha, why I said, I don't know why I say, because it's not part of the word Ganapataye. It's not Namaha, a separate word by itself a word. It had Ganapatta, na Ganaipati, you're always a compound by itself. Gananam Patihi, like that. So it's not too difficult. You don't say Gana Pati separately. So one word. So then comes Namaha. So we just take this one syllable. So we say this is a 8-syllabled mantra. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. But always this monosyllabic mantra ending with Anuswara, which will help you to have Bindu and Nada. Understand? It's always what? It's always good for contemplation. Understand? This is how it is. Om is Taraha. Ganapataye Namaha. Om Ekadantaya Vidmahe Vakratundaya Dhimahe Tanno Dantif Prachodayat. We have many Gayatris consisting of 24 syllables. This is called, this particular Gayatri is not generally Gayatri mantra in Savitri meter, wherein Bhagavan the whole is invoked in the form of sun. And especially, understand, though here we have called Ganesha Gayatri, Ganapati Gayatri. Okay? This is also another Gayatri mantra on the Lord, as Lord of the beings. So,
should we add Om in front of it?
Yeah. Because any mantra with Omkara becomes more powerful and effective. Because Om itself is a mantra. Om, Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. This is Tarena Ruddham. You should remember that. Tarena Ruddham Bhavati. Ruddha Bhavati. Means what? With addition, you know, preceded, you know, when the mantra has this Omkara preceding it, it becomes more powerful. Om Yekadantaya Vidmahe. Don't ask me how, why and all that. Om. If you know the meaning of the word Om, then you can say how it is. When I say it is one syllables which stands for the Bhagavan the whole, one sound which talks to you about the Bhagavan being the whole. There's no confusion. So how clear it is. Do you have to say where Bhagavan is sitting upstairs somewhere, up somewhere, not here, not there, the form or formless and he or she. We have to say he, we have to say formless. We are confusing. It is no problem. Bhagavan is the whole. Om, one sound, stands for the whole. It is jadam, it is sentient, insentient, mobile, immobile, everything. All knowledge, all actions, everything, but source is silence. So beautiful it is, very clear. Isn't it? No, this is all verifiable fact. Only thing is you need to understand it more, better. That's all. That's why pranava, see, we had, when you do Mandukya, we make it very clear. You will know what is meditating upon Om. In Mandukya Karika, we will see that. Okay. When we are going to see that? Soon we should do that. No. Ekadantaya vidmahe vakratundaya dhimahi. I want to finish it fast. I don't want to miss it today. So, ekadantaya vidmahe. See, vidmahe means what? Vidmahe. Again, second conjugation verb. So, with mahe is a suffix. With is the root. With mahe, we know. Vayam jani maha ityartha. So, with mahe, we know. What do we, with mahe always should go with the fourth case. That is why ekadantai with mahe means ekadantam jani maha. That is the meaning. But you should say ekadantaya with mahe. With mahe verb should always go with the fourth case. We know the Lord. Ekadantaha. Ekadantaha is one of the words which mean the Lord, the whole. Understand? Ekadantaha means, because dantaha means tusk. Okay, eka means one. So, ekaha dantaha, yes, saha ekadantaha. Like ekakarnaha. Okay, one single tusk. That is the meaning. And we have personification also, Lord with a single tusk. But here, ekadantai, we know the Lord. As the what? As the wielder of the creative power. Infinite creative power. Eka Shabda stands for the Maya Shakti, the infinite creative power. And Dantaha stands for the one who wields that creative Shakti. Eka Dantaha literally means single tusked. Okay, but otherwise it means the wielder of the Maya Shakti. Eka Dantaya Vidmahe. Understand? So when we say we know the Lord, the wielder of the Maya Shakti, which is manifest as the whole. Ekadantaya vidmahe vakratundaya dhimahi. So dhimahi means what? May we meditate. Dhimahi. Again, may we meditate. Upon what? Upon whom? Ye vakratundaya. May we meditate upon the Lord, na, who has his trunk curved, who's got curved trunk. And okay? Vakratundaya dhimahi. Vakratundaya dhimahi. Vakratundaya dhimahi. This again says something. Ekadantaya vidmahe vakratundaya dhimahi. Vakratundaha also means has the one, the order which has disorder also within it. Okay? Is Vakratundaha. Vakratundaya dhimahi. It means a curved trunked. Single tusked is the literal means, okay? Yeka, we know the Lord, Yekadanta, and may meditate upon the Vakratunda. Vakratunda yadhimahi tanno dantif prachodayat. So, tan naha dantihi prachodayat. So, tad stands for that Lord, may that Lord, okay? And who is the Lord here? Dantihi, okay? Dantihi. Dantihi again you can say the wielder of Maya. Eka Dantaha, or you can say Dantihi means Dantaha, yes, you can say it here. The wielder of Maya Shakti, Dantaha. May the Lord the wielder of Maya Shakti, may the Lord the whole. Naha Manaha Prachodayat. Always Naha should be supplied with the word what? Manaha. Naha Manaha Prachodayat. Naha means our. Manaha, minds, okay, naha manamsi prachodayat. Prachodayat literally means what? Inspires. See, our, no, see, chodanam, na chodayati means what? Na pushes up, okay? Prachodayati inspires. So, may that Lord inspire our thoughts in right direction, inspire our minds. Which implies, which means what? Illumine our minds. With what? The light of knowledge. Thereby what will happen? May the ignorance, darkness of ignorance be eliminated. So, Naha, all the Gayatris are very special because there Naha Prachodayat are the words you can see in all the Gayatris, which mean may the Lord inspire our thoughts in right direction, means may the Lord illumine our minds with the light of knowledge, which means may ignorance be eliminated, dispelled. Okay? So may the Lord enlighten our minds. That is the meaning. Is it clear? Ekadantaya vidmahe vakratundaya dhimahi tanno dantif prachodayat. You know, you cannot say, I don't know who the Lord is. You may not know the Lord as a whole. At least you know the Lord is the whole. You may not know the Lord as the whole, okay, but you still you know the Lord is the whole. At least you have understood something. That is why you can say, Ekadantaya vidmahe. You can't say, Na vidmahe. Ekadantaya vidmahe vakratundaya dhimahi tanno dantif prachodayat. Okay, and hereafter it may be a little boring for you, but still I have to tell you this. Ekadantam chaturhastam pashamankushadharinam. So this is the description. Okay, all the abstract form things are personified here. Okay, ekadantam chaturhastam. We have a form of the Lord. Okay, and what he has to know? Ekadantaha. So that's why our Lord has an elephant how? Elephant. So we saw what is which has one danta. Okay? Then we just catch hold of an elephant's face. So make the Lord an elephant faced. Those said what? Eka dantam chaturhastam. Understand? Eka dantaha. So the one tusk, okay? Single tusk. Chaturhastam. The one with the four hands. There's a big description of the Lord. All of them are in objective cases. All the words are an objective case. Look at this. Ekadantam chaturhastam pashamankushadharinam radancha varadam haste bibhranam ह्रदम् च वरदम् हस्तैर्बिभ्राणम् मोषकध्वजम् ह्रदम् च वरदम् देन् हस्तैर्बिभ्राणम् मोषकध्वजम् रक्तम् लम्बोदरम् शूर्पकर्णकम् रक्तवाससम् रक्तगन्धानुलिप्ताङ्गम् रक्तपुष्पैः सुपूजितम् भक्तानुकम्पिनम् देवम् जगत्कारणमच्युतम् आविर्भूतम् च सृष्ट्यादौ प्रकृते पुरुषात् परम्. सो दे सो मेनि एडजेक्टिव्स् एण्ड् एवम् इन् दिस् मेना यः ध्यायति एवं ध्यायति यो नित्यम् ऑलवेज ओके यः हि हू नित्यं ध्यायति मेडिटेट्स अपॉन द लॉर्ड इन दिस फॉर्म इन दिस मैना इन दिस फॉर्म मीन्स नॉट सिंपली दिस फॉर्म अलोन विद होल अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द उपनिषदिक विजन ओके वन हू मेडिटेट्स अपॉन द लॉर्ड इन दिस मैना एवं यः ध्यायति सः योगिनां वरः भवति हि इज द exalted of all the yogis. He is exalted of all the devotees, the yogis. Saha yoginam varaha. Yogigalil ellam sirandavaraga aagirar. Yoginam varaha bhavati. He becomes the exalted of all the yogis. Kaha yaha evam dhyayati. He who now meditates upon the Lord, evam, in this manner. Which manner? Which manner? As described above, in the all the adjectives. In objective case. Okay? So, we'll see now. Ekadantam chaturhastam. Ekadantaha. Okay? Single tusk. Chaturhastaha. One with the four hands. Okay? There are four hands. Chaturhastam. Four hands stand for, okay? Four hands stand for the one who is manifest as everything. All the hands and all the actions. Okay, all the motions and all the commotions, all the movements, all the functions, all the actions. Chaturhastaha, one with the four hands. Chaturhastam, Pashamankushadharinam, Pashaha, Ankushaha, snare and goad. Okay, one who is endowed with snare and goad. Okay, Pashamankushadharinam.
What's that?
Yeah.
Snare.
Yeah, that's a rope.
Oh. Snare and goad.
Okay, Pashamankushadharinam, Radan Chavaradam, Hastair, Bibhranam, Moshakadvajam. Let me tell you one thing. See, Hastaihi, Moshakadvajam, Bibhranaha. Let me tell you before we go to that. See, the one who is endowed with the flag of the mouse. Okay, flag with the mouse. Moshakadvajaha. See, here we, not like this, just the flag. For us, Lord has the Moshaka as the Vahanam, as the one who rides on the vehicle of the mouse. Moshaka. Why mouse? Because any Vahanam in our culture stands for Dharma. Okay, any Vahanam stands, Bhagavan rides on the vehicle of Dharma, the order. Understand? That is why when we go to temples, you can have seen, in all their vahanas in front of the, because you never saw these mantras. These are all Vedic. Later on we personified what is said in the Veda. That's all. Mushaka literally means mouse, okay? Any vehicle stands for Dharma. The odd, very abstract, Dharma. And you're asked, when you go around the temple, when you do the circumvention of the temple, you're asked not to go in between the vehicle and the murti in sanctum. Why? Because you can never have darshana Bhagavan. Okay, if you go against Dharma. Understand? See, you already asked to go, come around the murti, including this Vahanam. And we are always asked to do bow to the murti also, in front of the temple, in front of the Dhajastambha. Why? Because there is no way of having darshana Bhagavan without living in conformity with Dharma, without understanding, without living in tune with the order, Dharma. Okay, any Vahanam, Rishabha or Garuda or any vehicle of it. We have so many vehicles, no? Because we have so many forms and we have so many vehicles also. And all the vehicles stand for Dharma, the order. So here, Mushaka, but here, the Mushaka is said to be, Bhagavan is said to be endowed with the flag of Mushaka. Anyone who hoists the flag of the Mushaka, which stands for Dharma. Okay, Dharma is the flag. Dharma is the flag. Moshakadvajam. Okay. Then Bhagavan is said to, see one more thing, you see the beauty of this, Varadaha. You know, Varadaha means what? Varadaha is again interesting. Varam means boon. Varam means boon. Varam dadati iti varadaha. Dadati iti varadaha. The one who gives boons, the bestower of boons is called Varadaha. And what is varam? You simply say boon in English language. Here, choice. Okay? The bestower of your choice of boons. Okay? Choice of... Why it is called varam? You, whatever you choose to do, okay, whatever you choose to do is what? Varam. The result of the action you have chosen is what? Varam. Your own choice. You choose to ask for pain, you do the wrong action. You choose to ask for pleasure, you do the right action. In the sense of pain or pleasure, the best boon means we think only of pleasures. Of course, any pleasure is Bhagavan's blessing only. There's no bad luck and good luck, we say that. Here, Varadaha means the bestower of boons, the choice, your chosen wish. Okay? Radan Chavaradam Haste Bibhranam Moshakadvajam Raktam Lambodaram Raktaha. Then one who is had the color of the red hue, okay? One who is glowing like red colour. That means that redness again stands for knowledge. One who is of the nature of knowledge is symbolically said to be what? One who is in red colour. Raktam lambodaram. Again, see, we say lambate udaram yasya. One who belly hangs down, no? Is called lambodaraha. Big bellied. Hanging belly is called lambodaraha. Understand all of us? Lambodaraha. Lambate udaram yasya saha lambodaraha.
It's all of India.
Okay. So here, what does it mean? Why Bhagavan, this Lambodara here? It stands for the all-accommodative nature of Bhagavan. See, there's nothing which is outside of Bhagavan. See, the space is all-accommodative. And the one who accommodates this spatially limitless all-accommodative space is the all-accommodative. Okay? The all-pervasive, all-accommodative Bhagavan is said to be Lambodara. See, this is how we make our children understand. Okay? Because it's a nice way of putting it. So, okay. Raktam. Really, Lord, okay? Not the human beings. Raktam lambodaram shurpa karnakam. And then shurpa karnakaha. Karnaha means ear. And karnakaha, the one with the ear. And shurpa means then the winnowing basket. Have you seen that? So, because why do you need to use that? To remove the unwanted, to take the only the wanted. Similarly, anything which goes, so many things come and fall into our ears. We take, open it, take the wanted, remove it, close it when it is not wanted. So, take the useful, ignore the unwanted, useless. Therefore, that is simplified by this. Bhagavan being presented as the one endowed with winnowing baskets as his ears. Shurpa, because the elephants are big ears now. Shurpa, Karanaka, it's all for teaching. It's all for. Don't you take it seriously. You be with Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha or Om Gam Om is enough. Shurpa, Karanakam, Raktavasasam. And Raktavasam, one who, no? Again, the variety, the plurality, the multiplicity is implied by the word color. And the color is red. Therefore, you say rakta vasasam. Vasas means like vasamsi. It's plural of vasas. Vasamsi jirnani yatha aviha. So that vasas is vastram. So rakta vasa means one who is in red robes, which stands for one who is manifest as the multi colors, the varieties. And okay? Rakta vasasam, then rakta gandhanulipta angam, Rakta Gandha Anulipta Angaha. Bhagavan. The one who has got his body smeared with red sandal paste. Rakta Gandha Anulipta Angam. Rakta Pushpai Supujitam. One who is worshipped well with red color flowers. Again, the one who is worshipped with everything. Okay. Rakta Pushpai Supujitam. Then, here the word Rakta, why we say here? Because it's a part of the culture. I tell you this. The Raktam always stands for the fulfillment of desires and wishes. Okay? Raktam stands for attachment. Red color stands for attachment and desires and wishes. Therefore, for the fulfillment of wishes and desires, always we use red flowers. And because that's so important, you need everything in life. But, and for jnanam, we offer white flowers for knowledge. Artha kama dharma, you offer red colors. For moksha, you offer white flowers. This is all our part of this thing. Rakta pushpai supujitam bhakta anukampinam devam. Bhakta anukampi. Bhakta anukampi means anukampate, means what? Kampate means shivers and shakes. Anukampate means one who feels, means one who is compassionate, one who moves, for the devotee. Bhakta anukampinam. Again, who is the bhakta here? One who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge is the bhakta. Either he is a karma yogi or he is a jnana yogi. Therefore, one who bows to Bhagavan in the form of bowing to the values. Understand? Only then Bhagavan moves for you. If you don't live a life of dharma, then you can't. Bhagavan also will not move for you. Bhagavan will not be compassionate to you. So, bhakta anukampi. Here, bhakta means one who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge. One who lives a sannyasi or a karma yogi. Thereby, one who is committed to a life of dharma. He is the bhakta, okay? And bhakta anukampi, one who moves, one who is compassionate towards his devotees. Bhaktanukampinam and Devaha, all effulgent. Bhaktanukampinam Devam Jagatkaranam Achyutam. Jagatkaranam, the cause of the universe. You know that. The Lord who is the cause of the universe. And Achyutam. I don't know, I have told you many times. I remember many times I have told you the meaning. Chyavate is the verb. Chyavate means what? See, Chyavate slips. Chyavate slips. Okay, Chyuta slipped. Slipped. Moved away. Okay? And Achyuta, that which does not slip away, that which cannot be missed, is what? Achyuta. Na Chyuta, Achyuta. Suppose, the first word is Jagat Karanam when you say cause of the universe. When you say next is Bhagavan, it's Achyuta when you say. What does Achyuta mean? As the cause, the whole Jagat is Karyam. Okay, Bhagavan is the Karanam. Then what does it mean? Where as a part of this universe, living in this universe, every time, what the one which cannot be missed out of sight, which can go out of sight, vision, is the cause. For Achyuta. In every piece of knowledge, what cannot be missed is what? Awareness. Okay, that which is there as the, that which is invariably present in all the variable thoughts is awareness, consciousness. Therefore, Achyuta. Then I suppose every time you see the ocean, what cannot be missed? What is Achyutam in ocean is water. What is Achyutam in wave is water. You can never say, I see only the wave, I don't see water at all, you can't say. See, unknowingly or knowingly, when you see the ocean, what you see is only water. When you knowingly you see the ocean, you see the ocean being manifestation of the water. Unknowingly when you see the ocean also, what you in fact see is the water. Therefore, Achyuta. Because Jagat Karanam, therefore Achyutam. Okay, Karye Jagati. What is Achyutam? Is the Karanam Brahma. Therefore, we say, Jagat Karanam Achyutam Avirbhutancha Srishtya. Avirbhutam. Avirbhutam, that which has been there, Avibhutam which came into being. So we don't want to say coming into being at all. We say Avibhutam, that which has been there even before the universe comes into being. That means the universe itself, there is no creation, okay? It's only manifestation. So that which is always there even before the universe manifests. As the very cause, beginninglessly. So what should you say? Beginninglessly, timelessly, that which has been there even before the universe manifests, that comes into being. Avirbhutancha srishtyadav. And even before what? Prakrute ef purushat param. So prakrute he param, that which is superior to the prakriti, the maya. Prakriti here means what? The material cause, the maya shakti. So usually the word purushaha means the efficient cause, but here purusha means the jiva, that which is superior to the jiva as well as the prakriti, the creative power. Okay, prakrute e purushat param evam. Finished. I want to finish it today. I finished it. Evam dhyayati yo nityam. Evam dhyayati yo nityam sayogi yoginam varaha. This is the description of the Lord. Therefore, evam, in this manner, yaha dhyayati, he who meditates upon the Lord, saha yoginam varaha, he is the exalted of all the yogis. Om namo vrata. Oh, one more thing is there. Om namo vrata pataye namo ganapataye namah pramatha pataye namaste stulambodaraye kadantaya vighnanashine shivasutaya varadamurtaye namo namaha. So namaha, namo namaha, namaha namaha, salutations, salutations unto the Lord who is Vratapatihi. Vratapatihi, Vrataha means different phenomena, natural phenomena, the group of phenomena. Okay, so we say here salutations to the Lord of all the deities, all the phenomena. Ganapati, salutations to the Lord of all the group of all the laws, natural laws. So Ganapati, Lord of all the group of beings, and Pramathapati, he means Lord of all the laws. Okay, Pramathapataye namahate astu. May there be salutations unto you, O the Lord, Lambodaraha, Lambodaraya, the all accommodative of all accommodative, and Ekadantaya, the one with single task, Lambodaraya Ekadantaya, Vighnanashine, so remover of all obstacles. Shivasutaya, son of the Lord Shiva, we say the Lord and the Son are not two different things for us. Okay, so Father is not the Son, but the Son is not the Father. So here, Shivasutaya means what? Son of the Lord Shiva, Shivasutaya. Then Varadamurtihi. Varadamurtihi means one who is the bestower of all the boons, choice of, you know, pains and pleasures. So Varadamurtaye namaha namaha.
Sun is the same thing.
Yeah, here we mean
sun is not
no. Actually, Shivaha means auspiciousness. See, the word Shivaha means auspiciousness. If you ask what is auspiciousness, again I tell you, please be careful. Word Shivaha, Shiva, Shivam in three genders mean the word auspiciousness. What is auspiciousness? That which is devoid of sorrow. If any sorrow is there, there is no auspiciousness about it, okay? Devoid of sorrow, that which does not cause sorrow, and that which eliminates or removes the sorrow, is auspiciousness, okay? And the Shiva Sutaha means what? Shiva Sutaha means, again means, one who is the manifestation of the auspiciousness. Okay, one who is in the form of the manifestation of auspiciousness. Salutations to the, okay, we can say, salutations to the son of the Lord Shiva. The manifestation of the auspiciousness.
We were talking about mantras, and one wanted to worship Bharat Mata. What sort of mantra would one use? Or say Sanatana, for example.
It's implied here. There's no such thing called, we don't separate it for us.
Yes.
When you say whole Jagat is Bhagavan, okay, the Bharatam, it has a speciality, it is a uniqueness, is in looking at the whole Jagat as Ishvara. That is the uniqueness of Bharatam. No other land looks at it. That's all. But you don't have any special mantra to Bharata Mata or anything. Because you don't wish it actually. In fact, Bharatam itself means what? Bha means light, effulgence. Okay? Bha means effulgence and light. That's why Bhanu, Bhati. Bhati is a verb which means shines. So Bha is the root, second conjugation verb, root it is. Bha means light and effulgence, which it implies consciousness, which is the nature of pure knowledge. Bha means pure knowledge. And Ratha means, even Ratha actually is a participle of Ramate, revels. Okay, Rataha when you make it, it is, or Ratha when you say it's a participle can be used as an adjective. So you say the one who revels. So those who revel, called Bharata. Those who it's a land of people who have the luxury of reveling in knowledge of the reality, oneness of reality. It is called Bharatam. But do we revel? Indians remain steeped in ignorance now. Invite is meant for that. That's why in Arjuna, he said, hey Bharata, every time Krishna calls Arjuna as Bharata, Bharata Kule Jataha. Bharata Kule Jataha is Bharataha. One who comes in the clan, you know, the lineage, the clan of Bharata, Vamsha, is called Bharata. But who is Bharata? All of them are said to be what? Bharupa Brahmani Ye Ramante Te Yad Ramate Yaha Ramate the Bharataha. So Bharatam we say. Not to generate word. So understand, it is Bharatam. So Bharatam, when you make it a land, it means the land of people who have the luxury of reveling in the knowledge of the oneness of reality, the consciousness, the pure knowledge. So this was such a special thing for that. But
and what about Sanatana Dharma?
Yes, Sanatana Dharma means what? It is eternal way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Sadatanam is called Sanatana. Sanatana means what? It has no word. Sada means always. Mm-hmm. Tana, pertaining to all times, is called Sadatana. Tana stands for pertaining to. Sadatana, so the way of life, applicable, okay, way of life, which is eternal. Okay, Sanatanaha Dharmaha. And that way of life means Dharma governed life. The life governed by Dharma. Why? The way of life is governed by Dharma. Why it is based on a given vision. See, there is something called human pursuit. Artha Kamas and Dharma Moksha. There are only four pursuits. So one has to live this way of life in order to pursue Artha and Kama in conformity with Dharma, the way of life, so ultimately to accomplish Moksha. That is Sanatana Dharma. We can't say all those things. And in between here, now, see, Dharma, this way of life is understood and lived. Okay? That is enough. That is Sanatana, again he is Sanatani. We otherwise call the Hindu. But really speaking, if you don't live this, simply in talking, in the tip of the tongue, having these words will not help us. Really, a commitment to live that life. Then that life is a tapas, you know that? Then tapas means what? Then you have all powers, all siddhis, all that. New wishes will get fulfilled. Anyway, I only pray Bhagavan to bless us with the strength to live that way of life. And which is really, by which we don't harm anybody, at the same time we protect ourselves. Anyway. And it is good for anybody in the universe. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.